Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
They're either going to run you off or you're going to walk off up on your own recognizance. I've chosen to accept the job elsewhere next year. I'm going to finish what we started. We're going to dominate. I'm going to be here to that end and that conclusion. And then when that conclusion, we will move on.
That's NFL and College Football Hall of Famer Deion Sanders on leaving as head coach of HBCU Jackson State University in Mississippi. He will take over a Colorado program that was one of the worst in all of Division I this past year, going 1-11 on the season. Sanders has received a lot of pushback for leaving the storied, historically black university and going to work for a predominantly white institution. Well, tonight, we're asking if successful African-Americans feel pressure to stay and work for the culture. Well, my guests are Wisdom Martin, anchor for Fox 5 Morning News, and columnist for The Griot, Darren Snyder. If you have a comment, if you have a question about should you stay for the culture, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Wisdom, thank you so much for joining the program again. Darren, thank you so much for joining us again.
Glad to be here.
Okay, so Wisdom, you graduated from Jackson State. Darren, you graduated from Howard University. I graduated from Morgan State University. So we're not black, we're black.
Blackety black.
Okay. So, but I'll let you have the floor first. Let's quickly talk about this issue with Deion Sanders. But I do want to expand this conversation. Do you think Deion Sanders is wrong for leaving Jackson State, Wisdom?
Absolutely not. I think that he is doing what's in the best interest for his career and his family. Now, make no mistake about it. You know, as we all went to HBCUs, we love our HBCUs. We love football, and we love to see them being successful. Deion was a very unique guy in the way he approached it and the change that he made. He came in a three-year period. He made a lot of change. He brought a lot of publicity there, got a lot of conversations started. And then when the opportunity presented itself, he secured the bag. I mean, he was making around $300,000 at Jackson State. And people can say all they want. It's not about the money. But $300,000 versus $4.5 million, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I don't know anybody who is listening to your radio station right now who would look at that and say, all right, $300,000 is what I'm getting. I know this other place is going to pay me $4 million, $5 million, but I'm going to stay for the culture. That's not even realistic. This is the real world. And again, I love Jackson State, just like you guys love your school. But that's not realistic to say, okay, Deion, thank you for coming in here and pretty much working for free. You made more playing two games with the Dallas Cowboys, but we want you to stay here and love us and not take that money and go to Colorado. Now, Colorado is a bad job, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah,
so, but you know what the thing is, if you look at it for him, it's a great opportunity to go somewhere and build something from scratch because it's a boo-boo job. It's a boo-boo job. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing brings out all of this angst we have in our community. You know, we back in the day, you know, we had all these black banks. We had these black businesses.
Right.
We had everything was black because it had to be black, and we was making it and making it. And then they came into integration, and now it seems like a lot of the quote-unquote cream and the cream, the top 10, whatever, don't always go and work for black companies or start their own black companies. They go work for white companies, and they do that. And it's like, oh, if we only did this and that. Look, Deion Sanders is going to be Deion Sanders wherever he goes. No one else was going to do it like him.
Right.
Whatever you do in your world, in your life, you're going to be whoever you are, whether you work at a black business or a white business. The culture is not dependent on where you work, whether you Deion Sanders or whether you're a banker.
But hold on, Darren, because I beg to differ in one respect to that last statement. So first of all, as far as Deion Sanders is concerned, he came, he saw, he conquered. Go get your coins. But I do believe that you have, whether you're a Deion Sanders or you are an Oprah Winfrey or you are, a Barack Obama, or a Tyler Perry, you can be iconic in the culture. And wherever you are, you are going, if you work for a black organization, you are going to sprinkle that magic black fairy dust on where you are right now. But if another opportunity comes along, I think you should take it. But I do believe that it does make a difference where you are. And even for people like myself, people like, for example, Wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And wife and all them kids and everything else you got. You've got to feed your family. But
I got to pay these bills, Harold.
That's what I'm saying. Have you seen the Pepco bill lately? But but have you felt obligated or even pressure? Mm-hmm. To in some way, shape, or form do something for the culture consistently mm-hmm. throughout your career,
right.
Even though you don't work for a black-owned organization.
Absolutely, Harold. It's funny, I was having this same conversation with one of my friends earlier when we were talking about this situation with Deion Sanders, and I was explaining to him on a much smaller scale, I have always felt obligated to the culture in my career, because not that I am some kind of pioneer and I'm not blazing a trail, because people have before me have blazed a trail for me. We're talking about the Ed Bradleys, the Jim Vances of the world, the James Browns of the world. All these people have already blazed a trail for me. So for now, what my obligation to the culture is to reach back and continue that legacy, no matter who I work for, to go back into the community, to go back to some of these colleges, these HBCUs, have these HBCU fairs and explain to them what life is like at Jackson State, to talk to people about internships in the media, all the different things you can do, reach back and pull some of these black girls and black boys up from a young age and bring them into the fold so we can keep this whole thing going for the next generation. So I absolutely feel obligated to represent for the culture on the highest, from the highest level to the lowest level, because I think giving back, that's the ultimate. You're not going to be here forever. So the best thing you could do is to leave the place, the world, the situation better than it was before you got there. Like the people that were before me, they did the same things. That's why I'm here. Without them, I don't get here.
Yeah.
And hopefully some kid or some young lady or some man will see me, young man will see me and say, okay, there's Wisdom. I can talk to him. Wisdom, how can I do this? How can I pick your brain? How can I get into this industry? What do I need to look out for? All those different things to help the culture. So that was a long answer to saying, absolutely, I do.
202. Hold on. 202. Hold on for a minute. Darren. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about successful, high profile African Americans. When they get to the apex of their careers, do they feel obligated or even pressure to do things for the culture? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Darren, real quick, go ahead before I go to the phones.
Yeah, the point I was going to make is what Wisdom was saying. No matter, I represent just by being who I am and how I do what I do. So it doesn't really matter. But no doubt, I believe we need to get back and try to leave places mm-hmm. better than we found them. And if we do that, it doesn't really matter whether I write for The Grill or whether I write for The Washington Post or if
right.
Wisdom is at BET or he's at right. CBS. You know what I mean? Just
yeah,
by
absolutely.
Doing, by trying to model excellence and responsibility and professionalism and still keeping it real and able to kick it, mm-hmm. no matter if you're talking to somebody in the C-suite or you're talking to the custodian. You can kick
right.
it with either one of them, be comfortable with them, and do what you do at a high level, that's representing the culture.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
I agree with that. That means no bar fights. No. No. I mean, I'm serious though. No bar fights. Staying out of jail. Being right. A responsible citizen. Because, all eyes are certainly, watching, even some of those really young eyes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you want to do all of those things, or I should say not do those things. Why? Because your mother said, don't do it. But you right. also feel an obligation to make sure that you are a stand-up person for the culture.
Right, which we can get into a whole debate about. There's a whole definition of that we're not talking about, which you said at first, with the bar fights and all of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure we know which one we're talking about.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. Tim, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Tim. What's on your mind?
Just real quick, I feel like as alumnus of a HBCU,
mm-hmm.
And I played football at a HBCU, and one of the mottos that we tried to live by was culture for service. So I felt like Deion he came to Jackson State with a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
He came there, I feel like, just to use Jackson State as a stepping stone. And I feel like in a lot of ways it was disrespectful, and I felt like kind of manipulated because he told us, this story about what he was going to do. He painted this picture for everybody about how he's going to raise the level of, not only Jackson State, but SWAC football and HBCU football in general. And I feel like, we've been almost bamboozled and manipulated into believing it. And then he ups and he raises the level for a minute, and then he ghosts everybody. And now the level is going to drop back down. And not only that, so he gets new facilities, but he's going to gut the team. So you're going to have maybe 15 to 20 players that are going to leave. So when you say, is he leaving Jackson State better than when he found it? Facilities-wise, yes. But player-wise, which is what makes up the team and the chemistry in Jackson State itself, he gutted the team. So in a lot of ways, I feel like, no, he really didn't leave, the school better than what it was.
Okay.
And one last point was
real quick, go ahead.
So when I got out of school, I had the opportunity to work in banking at two, big financial centers in America. And I felt working at those places, I couldn't help other black people like I wanted to. So I chose to, live by the motto, culture for service. So now I work at a smaller minority-owned bank in the DMV, where I feel like I can really touch our people. I can really impact and help our people working in our community right in the bank. So I feel like, with Deion, there's a disconnect. Even though he is a black head coach, he didn't have the whole HBCU experience as far as going there and things like that. And his whole motivation was a stepping stone, man. And I understand it, but I don't like it.
Okay, Tim. Thank you so much. Wisdom, your thoughts about what Tim just shared. I disagree. I mean, you can help black folks wherever you are. Black,
right.
Bank, white, it doesn't matter. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, right. All right, so the deal with Deion Sanders not leaving, I disagree with that because he did. Think about all the publicity. So what Deion Sanders did was give us a blueprint. He said, look, he didn't say this, but it was by example. Here's how I'm going to do things. I'm going to use this transfer portal. I'm going to get a new practice field at this place that hadn't had a practice field since my daddy went to school at Jackson State back in the 60s. They're going to get new uniforms. There's facilities upgrade. Exposure on national television, Jimmy Kimmel, 60 Minutes, GMA, College Game Day, the recruiting. Now, he gave everybody in the HBCU world the blueprint. He used social media on how to better serve yourself. So here he is saying, okay, here's the platform. Here's what I'm doing. Watch me. He never turned his back on any HBCU coach. He never disrespect. The only one that got mad at him was Eddie Robinson when he started that Who Is Swag business, but we could talk about that later because I didn't like that either. But he never turned his back. He was never disrespectful to the other SWAC coaches. He always reached out to them and tried to help. I know this for a fact because I know some of these people. He always tried to help them. So he laid out the blueprint. Now the challenge is, what are the presidents and administrators at these schools going to do now to try to match that blueprint. As far as players leave, players come and go all the time.
Yeah.
So that's not a concern to me about players leaving and going to Colorado with him. That's fine. The next coach has to do his job and get some players in there.
Yeah.
How is he going to do that? Use the same blueprint that Deion Sanders did.
Look, hold your point.
So use your own.
I've got to take a break.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk to Andre calling from Clinton. We're going to talk to Dwayne from Maryland. Everybody has a price, but will you still do it for the culture, whatever it is, no matter what the price is? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking if successful, high-profile African-Americans feel pressure to work for the culture. My guests are Wisdom Martin, anchor for Fox 5 Morning News and columnist for The Griot, Darren Snyder. I just want to go back to, one point, because even outside of the question of the Deion Sanders thing, Darren. And I think Tim, spoke about this. And we have other high-profile, black folks, in this country, such as, you remember when Oprah Winfrey, she didn't play football, but she's, she is a billionaire, high-profile black person. She opened a school years ago in South Africa, and people complained, why didn't you do this in the U.S.? I would argue that is for the culture. That is motherland culture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would also argue that other high-profile people, like, okay, you can take a LeBron James when he opened up his school, but because right. that doesn't get the kind of publicity that, 50 points, during the playoffs or what have you, or a new TV show by Oprah or Tyler Perry will get, that people, they just want a reason to snipe.
Yeah. The thing is, this not going to be one. I don't care if it's Byron Allen or the 10 richest black people in America or whatever. There's no one savior. Deion
right.
could have stayed at Jackson State. And the level, if it goes down, the caller said it's going to go back down. If it does go back down, it's because it was raised up by him. So even if he stayed another 5 years and he left and it goes back down, you can't blame that on him. So what
exactly.
I'm saying is that the culture needs to continue, and we need people at all places, at all spots. We need people in the Power Five. We need people in the NEAC. We need people in the SWAC. It's not like we got to all be in one place. And the brother who said he didn't want to work at the big bank, so he went to work for a smaller bank, that's cool. But he could have had some impact. We need people in that big bank, too. So
yeah.
It's not like either or. I think it's this and that. And remember, it's not our fault that we got to deal with all of these shortages of HBCUs and these lack of opportunities and stuff.
Exactly.
We know it's built on systematic you-know-what. So we can't be picking on each other because, you need to go work at that black school. Why are you working at that white school?
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dwayne, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Dwayne. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I've got a couple of things I want to say.
Well, keep it short. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The kids. I can't help but think that the kids gonna feel slighted by him leaving. I mean, he preached HBCUs to everyone. So, I mean, and he brought in some good players. And these players some of these good players came to HBCUs because of him. I attended HBCU, but I can't help but think that they'll find you if you're good enough. They'll find you at an HBCU or Colorado, anywhere if you're good enough. They'll find you if you're a great player. They will find you. Also, some of the HBCUs are not stepping up as far as facilities and doing the best for their kids, and I can't help but think that he might have been slighted by that also.
Yeah.
And he also slighted, Deion Sanders slighted Buddy Pugh when they played the South Carolina State down in Atlanta. The HBCU championship.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. It's sport. Right, I'm not even worried about that because.
Right.
But Dwayne.
Someone said he looks like.
Yeah.
Coaches,
yeah, it's sports. It's, you know, that's the way it is. Dwayne, I got to run. Let me go to Andre calling from Clinton. Andre, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I am a Morgan State ex football player.
Go Bears.
And I do believe that. He made a good move, and I tell you why.
Bill, be quick for me.
When you look at it, you have a lot of good black athletes going to white colleges. How many head coaches do they have that are black at those white colleges? So to me, he's making a statement, and black players could, I think, gravitate to him for some type of guidance. Other than football, perhaps life experience. So I think it's a good move for him and a good place for him to be at this point.
Andre, thank you for that. And Wisdom, so there's my point. Because, you know, sometimes you can stay at a black institution as a black person. Or you can go outside of, you know, black institutions, black communities, you're still going to be a black person, and you can still have, you know, impact. So here's my question. Tell the truth, shame the devil. what was it? When the Powerball, did you play the Powerball, Wisdom?
Absolutely, I did.
All right, Darren, did you play the Powerball?
I meant to, but I didn't make it.
I played it. So here's my point. If you live in a black community, my community up in Baltimore is really, really diverse. We've got a lot of black folks. I live in the city, like my neighborhood, love my neighbors. But let me be really, really clear. If I had hit that $1 billion Powerball, I would not have stayed in my community. I would have gone
to the east side.
You would have seen me move. I would have bought an island. I would have had a house in Potomac near the Housewives.
Right.
But
Harold was going to create his own culture.
But that's my point.
I do want to say this.
But hold on. Let me finish my point. But because I had so much money, I'm still going to do it for the culture. But what is it? Like you said, I can create my own culture, whatever it happens to be, my own school for young black boys, young black girls, for special needs children. I throw a whole bunch of money and hire people from HBCUs. I'm going to be the robber baron for, you know, the best and the brightest of African-American, you know, teachers. And we're going to have one over here, and we're going to have one over here. And I'm going to fly in from my island to make sure that my money's being spent well. But you can still do that for the culture without living in the black community. But, you know, a lot of people get criticized that, you know, they hit the lottery or they do. And, they, like you said, it's like the Jeffersons. They move on up on the east side.
I mean... For people who want to work at these institutions or live in neighborhoods that are below what they can afford for whatever reason, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not like saying like, oh, if you don't go for the biggest paycheck, then something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? So like, it would have been a great story if Deion said, "Nah, I'm gonna stay here for like 15 years and do what Eddie Robinson did and all that." Everyone would be feeling good. And so, you know, a lot of us do feel kind of sad that he left, but I mean, it's not like you can blame him. If he stayed, I wouldn't blame him for turning up the money, because it's good sometimes to see people say like money ain't everything. I mean, right. I haven't got to that point yet, so someone can offer me that money, I'm gonna take it. But
I know I ain't at that point either.
Get to that point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's good if you can get to that point, because we don't want to act like it. And you do see people taking less money sometimes for lifestyle considerations. you know, more flexibility. They like where they're at. They like the company culture where they're at and things of that nature. So I don't think that we're just saying, oh, go for the money no matter what, period, end of discussion. But, you know, sometimes it's just if it, everything lines up, then that's what you do. And you don't feel like you're a trader or a turncoat or anything. You still, you know, you still love black people. You still work with black people. You're still all about black people, trying to do what you can for the culture like we spoke before. So, I mean, to me, y'all tripping if y'all think something's wrong with me if I go and work and do something like Deion did.
Yeah.
Because I'm still me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you. Like Darren said, though, when he was talking earlier about everybody was like, oh, well, he's some kind of savior. We don't – see, the culture – our culture is so big, we don't really need, one person. We can't just pin everything on one person to save us.
Thank you.
Everybody is doing – you don't need one black person to save the entire culture, the entire community. We are all doing – or we can all try to do our part in whatever area that we're in. Like Harold, if Harold wins the $1 billion, he's going to buy the island, but he's still going to help because he's going to do schools and all these kind of things. If Darren goes and buys a network, he'll buy the network and live wherever he lives, but he'll employ black people and put people in power. And I do the same thing in whatever area that I'm going to become wealthy in. There's no one person that we have to pin this all on and put the pressure. Okay, well, since this person did this, they're evil because they didn't do it the way that we say we want to do it, which is not mm-hmm. deep in reality or a regular mindset. Because as I said at the beginning of this, there's not one person within your listening area or that watches Darren or watches me that if you put $300,000 on the table and you put $5 million on the table, they're going to look at that $5 million and say, no thanks. That's just not reality. So the bottom line is we can all do our own part for the culture. We don't have to be all doing the exact same thing the exact same way. And we also don't have to criticize and demonize people who don't do things our way or the perceived way that we think that they should be doing.
So here's my question for you, or for both of you, Darren. And I'll start with you, Darren. We talk about feeling obligated to do for the culture, but do you or have you ever felt pressure to do for the culture?
I feel obligated and pressure to represent and to be, a high character, high integrity professional. All of those things. I feel pressure and obligation to do that. Unfortunately, because as you know, sometimes we feel like we are responsible for the image of our people, mm-hmm. even though no one else has to deal with that. But the other thing I did want to say is, you know, we all went to HBCU, so to us, it wasn't like now that Deion went there, HBCUs are suddenly cool and we know why someone would go to HBCU. We already knew that before he got there. And now that he's gone, it's still HBCUs have their own value and their own appreciation, regardless of whether Deion is a coach at Jackson State or not. So the obligation is to maximize your God-given potential in whatever way you do it. That's the obligation and the pressure that I feel.
But yeah. What about you, Wisdom? Do you feel pressure? I mean, we talked about obligation, but do you feel pressure?
I've always felt pressure to be the best that I could be at whatever TV station, radio station that I've ever worked for, because I did feel like this is representation of my culture. I came from an educated family. My parents both high school educators, teachers, so I felt pressure to, okay, go out here. Not only do you go out here and succeed, but remember, you are a black man. You can't, Harold, you mentioned this at the beginning. You can't be out here at the bars fighting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be out here doing this nonsense with all these different people. Represent, because you're representing for the culture. You're representing for the Martin family. We have worked our butts off through education in Mississippi and Jackson State for you to have these opportunities. So don't screw it up. So that is pressure, and like Darren said, this is pressure that we as a culture deal with. Other people don't have to deal with this kind of stuff because they just go. We have to go, exceed and excel. Just to, as John Thompson once said, we have to do 10 times as much work to get half as much as the other people do. So yeah, there's always pressure. Always.
I've always felt the obligation. I felt the responsibility. I can't necessarily say I felt the pressure, but like you were just saying, Wisdom, you know, I did, you know, have it impressed upon me through, you know, my parents. They all went to HBCUs, yep. Okay? My first news director at Morgan, he was, he was a black man. He went to Fisk, and he said to me one day, we were standing looking out the window at the radio station. I think I was 18. And he said, if you continue to do this, and he was talking about radio news or news in general media, he said, your charge is, he didn't say for the culture, but it is, he said, it is for your people. Was that pressure? I didn't feel the pressure, but because I'd heard the same thing from my parents, but this was just a continuation of the responsibility. And I would argue that sometimes you may not be able to build, you know, the Darren, you know, Snyder media empire and hire all these black people. You may not be able to build the Wisdom Martin School or the Harold Fisher School of Oceanography in Aruba. However, sometimes you have to do it for the culture one person at a time.
Yes.
And
I agree 100%, Harold. You're absolutely right. And because that's what it's going to take. Because again, we're not all in the same place. We don't all think the same way. We don't all have the same agenda in our lives. We're different people with different things going on in our different little individual worlds. So that makes a huge difference, is every little piece helps to build something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think platforms, big or small, when you have someone or someone's plural that you run into, particularly when you're talking about, you know, young people, and you have their ear and their respect, and you have an opportunity for those, you know, those teachable moments, that you are doing it for the culture, where you cannot miss the opportunity to gently instruct and to lift up. It's just that, you know, Deion Sanders has a bigger megaphone. I would argue that Tyler Perry has a bigger megaphone than Deion Sanders, because he went from nothing, created his own, and now has the wherewithal to do it for the culture, not in just what he creates, but because of what the people that he employs behind the scenes. Giving women an opportunity, giving young people an opportunity, and telling our stories, whether they're serious or silly or anything in between. But sometimes I would also argue doing it for the culture means that you may have to have partnerships with people outside the culture, because sometimes doing it for the culture means educating others who are not part of your culture about the culture.
Yeah. Right. You do that in the Power Five. You do that when you're at a major studio, you know, before you break off on your own, like Tyler Perry did. I mean, there's so, like Wisdom said, there's so many different levels to this, man. People have different abilities, different ambitions, different lifestyle choices. So this is really just reflection of, you know, the trauma, the racial trauma we've dealt with for at least 400 years, you know, the self-loathing versus self-hate and all of that stuff. And I think that if we could just realize that as long as we're all trying to do the best we can in our lane and help somebody else along the way, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Not, you know, we're not going back to where it was all black business and it was segregated. We're not going back to that.
I don't think we should go back to that. I mean, there was definitely some strengths involved there, but I think we can be strong, segregated and integrated. So if you're a black business, you can have a strong black business. If you're working at a mainstream business, you can work for a strong mainstream business. It's not either or.
But Wisdom, what do you say or do for those people who are within the culture who say that you are a sellout? When they say you're turning your back on, you know, on black people, you know, we are taking your Wakanda pass.
You're not invited to the cookout.
Yeah, exactly. How do you deal with that?
Well, here's the thing. This is what we and honestly, Harold, I got a problem with the negativity and the attacks that come from black people on black people. On the very thing that you're talking about. We just talked about it, and Darren just said it. We all, and you, and Harold, you talked about it too. We're all doing different things in our own different way to improve the culture. Now, we don't have a megaphone or like Tyler Perry. We don't have the microphone like Deion Sanders. But Harold Fisher's doing his part. Darren's doing his part, and I'm doing my part behind the scenes to help the culture. Now, we're not broadcasting it, so people don't see that. And that's what's annoying is people just see, they'll just see you, see Darren doing his work, see you doing your work, see me doing my work. And then, you ain't doing nothing for the culture, but you don't know me. You don't know our struggle. You don't know anything about us. So how can you possibly judge me? How can you judge me based on what I am doing in a 9-to-5?
Mm-hmm. I got a question. Is Clarence Thomas doing it for the culture?
Oh, no, he ain't doing it. He's not doing it. We rid of him. He can't come to the cookouts or nothing else for that matter. No,
in all seriousness, some black people would say that there is a part of the culture that Clarence Thomas fits into. Now, it's up to...
What part that is.
It's up to the individuals. But, you know, as we know, and as we have seen over, you know, the past... You know, to political voting cycles, presidential voting cycles, that black people are not monolithic.
Almost, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, almost. You know, and maybe, you know, you may have, you know, 20 people who disagree with the politics of a Clarence Thomas. And then you have two black people over here who do agree, but then you have someone in the middle who is not part of the culture who is asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so what is your responsibility as being part of the culture in explaining why these 20 people over here are upset with these two over here?
Just explain how his actions are actually anti-culture, anti-black, and the policies he supports are doing, you know, harm to our people.
Yeah, or
you know, you just gotta lay it out like that.
And you know, and I think you know to, and I think to you know understand that, and you don't have to be a Clarence Thomas to be removed from part of, you know, of the culture. You know, for some people, if you make enough money and you live far away enough from mainstream quote unquote black culture or even those who are, you know, in, you know, below the mainstream of black culture. I'm talking about socioeconomic levels. Sometimes you can forget, you know, where some of us have come from and where some of us still are. And sometimes, you know, we may need to re-immerse ourselves in the wholeness of our culture to remind us of how far we've come, where we are, where we need to go. You know, there's a great big old museum right downtown. sometimes doing it for the culture means getting a little bit of a refresher course.
Well, the ones in the sunken place, you know, they do need our, our empathy, our patience to try to help, you know, bring them back.
I agree.
Some of them just lost, though. I mean, some of them don't deserve our energy. And y'all know what you're talking about. Some of them don't deserve that energy, so we might have to just let them
I mean, it does seem like you're beating your head against the wall in some cases.
Which brings
me back to the point. That's why you need to stay out of the bar fights and the other kinds of foolishness to again, represent, the culture and to address those, those teachable moments. And I think that, money isn't everything, but in this case, whether it's a Deion Sanders or an Oprah Winfrey or a LeBron James or anyone else who's put together, a foundation, that money is a tool for you to do that. And I would argue, okay, let's just see what Deion Sanders does in Colorado, whether he can stand the cold and the snow and all of that, and to be successful, because here's the other thing. One of our guests, I think it was Tim, or maybe it was someone else, who talked about the fact that, he kind of turned his back on HBCUs. All of us went to HBCUs. There's nothing Deion Sanders can teach us about HBCUs. But there are a whole lot of people who watched that 60-minute interview a couple of months ago who know nothing about the culture. They say, HB what?
Right, yep. Right.
And I think that is not disservice. That is the service to let people know this is why they exist.
And if we're talking about sports, I mean,
sports.
Some players are going to go play for a coach. They don't care whether the coach is at an HBCU or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually it's going to be at a PWI. So Deion had people come to Jackson just because he was there. But there's a reason to go to Jackson, even though he's not there. And that reason, and this is going to appeal to certain players, and they're still going to go. They're still going to have a great experience, not as great as if they went to but it's still going to be a great experience, And Morgan State, my number two HBCU, another great experience, great institution.
I think so.
But the bottom line is that, as you said, Darren, I think it was Darren, you said this earlier, these HBCUs, this is not new news for us. It's just in the spotlight right now. Mm-hmm. These schools have been around. They've been great since they've been around. The campus life is amazing. Sports, the sports is nice. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. Sometimes we get on a streak where it's 5 years of greatness and then 5 years of bad sports in any given arena. But the bottom line is the schools are phenomenal. They are educating some of the best and the brightest people that are out here on this planet that are making a difference, that are striving for change. So that we can't get lost in the fact that, oh, my God, Deion Sanders. Okay, he came here. He reignited a fire for HBCU.
Gave us the blueprint, like you said, a blueprint.
It's a blueprint.
A black print.
People were talking about it.
He gave them a black print.
HBCUs. He gave them a black print. They were talking about HBCUs all over the country on 60 Minutes, GMA. Michael Strahan went to an HBCU, so he understood. So the bottom line is the negative. I think we need to get to a point where when somebody is trying to better themselves as an individual, let them be. Let them better themselves and not demonize them for doing what they do best. Because, again, Harold and Darren, as you both know, it's not like it's a bunch of black coaches in D1 football in the first place. There are more than there were, and there are more opportunities out there now. Mm-hmm. But let's not act like this is just a normal thing for a black coach to get a head football job at a PWI, because that's not normal either.
Yeah. Props to Colorado, because he's the fourth black coach they've hired.
Yeah, props to them. And Notre Dame's had two, and I think Stanford's had three. They had Dennis Green, Willingham, and David Shaw, who just resigned. So this is not, it's getting better. The situation is getting better, much better than the National Football League, but I digress. But there's still room for them to grow, and Deion Sanders can be part of that change. He made some differences at Jackson State. And let's hope that he makes some differences at Colorado. I have no hatred for him. I don't see anything wrong with what he did. He didn't badmouth the culture. He didn't destroy the culture. We're here. We're still here. All our schools are still here and still thriving.
So certainly, it's like that saying, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. And I would argue that he has indeed done that. Wisdom Martin, Darren Snyder, thank you both for talking to us. We will be in touch, and we will continue to watch.
All right. Sir. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to y'all. Good night. Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good night.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, December 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.